Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Craving some great 80s music? Play Virgin Radio 80s Plus. I want your love. On DAB digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, and at virginradio80splus.co.uk.
I got my mind set.
Even if we're just dancing in the dark.
Love Chris Evans.
Woo!
Love the 80s.
Virgin Radio
80s Plus.
Our next guest, Bees Vassos.
He's the sensational stand-up with a comedy Midas touch who in his new show claims he looks like Jamie Lang. Rob Beckett's Smart TV begins tomorrow at 9 p.m. on Sky Max and Now. So please welcome the marvellous mouth of the South who's on everybody's Beckett list. It's Rob Beckett.
Hey,
yes,
Rob.
Thank you very much.
How good was that?
Loved it.
Pretty impressive.
So exciting seeing it live as well.
Yeah.
You hear it in the car, but just watching it, watching the mouth move. It's really something up close.
It's some mouth,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got a lot of Carly Simon about it.
Oh, yes, good.
It's about the same aperture with the book.
With the new book, yeah.
Yeah, no, forget it. It's Rob's interview, not yours, for heaven's sake. Rob Beckett's Smart TV begins tomorrow, 9 p.m. Sky Max, and Now. Brand new show.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Very excited.
Round of applause for a brand new show from the control room, please. Thank you. Brand new show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Brand new show.
Oh.
Brand new show.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
Look at that, yeah. Wow, you don't give a warning. So as soon as you say it, someone has to sprint to the soundproof door, whip it open, and then
they
the brand
have
new.
They don't to. They're gagging to.
They love it. That's
they're
fun, though, isn't it?
Permanent standby. All right, so once again, here we go. It's Rob and his funny pals being funny on TV. You've got to come up with a reason to get, or an excuse to get on telly, and this time it's telly itself, and then you're just funny. So who are your resident funnies, and who are some of your guest funnies?
Right, so basically, Sky said, do you want to do a panel show about telly? I was like, yes, I love telly.
Yes, please.
It's a proper quiz, so
you can
play along at home as well. And it's really funny. But normally, whenever they go, do you want to do a show? They went, we've got some ideas for team captains. That's normally when I tap out. But they absolutely nailed it. They went, it's Josh Widdicombe, who I do Parenting Hell with, the podcast.
And you love.
Who I love. Yes. Good friend of mine. Been doing comedy with him 15 years. And then Alison Hammond. Who I love.
So
and
do
everyone.
I.
She's unbelievable.
So do I. I love Alison Hammond. I've only met her once, but I... Well, maybe twice. There was one particularly memorable meeting at a pub, a James Blunt's pub. Listen to this. Clang, clang, clang,
oh, wow,
clang, clang.
Look at this.
A James Blunt's pub for a Christmas lunch. And she was amazing. Just to be in her orbit, I've got loads of energy anyway,
yeah.
But I was more energised than usual just by being near her.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
She pumps you up.
Oh!
Big time.
And she smells amazing.
Yeah, she does. She always
There's
looks
no
incredible.
Better smelling person in show business than Alison Hammond. I don't know if it's right to say that or not. It's just a fact.
No, she smells great. No, I think if you publicly said she smelled awful, yeah, then that would be bad.
Yeah, and you think,
but I think if it's a good smell, I think that's fine.
And
isn't
also,
it?
You
she stinks.
Yeah, but good stink.
Yeah, great stink. But yeah, no, she's amazing. And the best thing about panel shows is the dynamic.
Yep.
And Josh is obsessed by TV, a bit of a TV nerd.
He wrote a book about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so he's desperate to win the quiz and stuff like that. And Alison doesn't really care that much, but she really wants to make sure that Josh doesn't win.
Yeah.
More than win.
And
which
also,
is good.
She does know a lot about telly.
Like, well, she's on
just
it all.
Doesn't write books about it or give interviews about the fact they've written books
about
it.
Well, she's too busy being on the telly.
I know. And in the first episode, which I saw last night, Josh says, hang on a minute. This isn't fair because this is a quiz show about telly and Alison's on all the programmes all the time.
Yeah.
So not only does she know about them, she works on them all
the
time.
Yeah, we did have a bake-off round that she was answering questions on, which felt unfair.
And Big Brother.
Yeah, but it's hard to find a show she hasn't done.
That's
Strictly,
me.
She's done that. The Jungle, we're running out this morning. She's all over it. But no, it's brilliant. We had David Tennant on as well. David Morrissey from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Cush Jumbo. So all these proper, like, big actors. And, you know, Richard Awadi, Ramesh, John Richardson were all on as well. So it's like a real mix. But what I found is I thought the actors might be a bit serious, but they see it as an opportunity just to go wild.
They're
David Tennant,
fun, man.
Is off his nut.
Yeah,
I saw
David Tennant in the street the other day with his wife.
Yeah.
And he
God, where do you live? It's like Stella Street. You're all rubbing shoulders with all the famous people.
Well, it was Regent Street.
Oh, well,
you were shopping.
Fair enough, yeah. Okay, fair enough, yeah.
And what was great about him was that he was trying to, and I know David, so I can say this. I think he was trying to not look like David Tennant. But the thing was, he really looked like David Tennant, not trying to look like David Tennant.
Right.
Do you know what I mean by that?
So I've seen Alan Carr in the street. And he cannot, he tries his best to keep a low profile.
Big scarf, hat.
Yeah, he wears a scarf, but you can still see his mouth through the scarf with Alan Carr. Oh, so, yeah, gosh. No chance for Tennant.
Well, great lineup. Well done, congratulations.
Yeah, no, it's yeah, Nicola Coughlan's on it as well, Derry Girls. So it's
you've got the people. Blessed with you've the got guests. The stuff, you've got the laughs, you've got the bants. Of course you have. Did you pick on your favourite TV shows? Because I know that No Likey, No Likey features a lot on episode one. Did you cherry pick those?
So, with the buzzer rounds for the teams, we pick famous sort of quotes from shows, and I did the impression of them, which was quite fun. Yeah. So that makes an appearance in that one. But we picked. There's a great round where TV showdown round where we get somebody who's an expert on a show to go up against the whole other team.
That's great, man.
And so they were doing it on their desks, but I thought it's actually they were winning a lot because obviously they're obsessed by that show and the other team, even though there's three of them, may not know as much. But then I said, well, why don't we just make it more stressful because we can't give them more knowledge, so we just put them really close to each other, like face to face, like a boxing stare down, and they just lose their head. So it's amazing. So we get them, and they're all like on a bench, like they're the back of a bus, all sat squashed in face to face, and it's so funny watching someone crumble.
Yeah, because they're tense, aren't they?
Yeah,
and the other person's like really chilled, and the more chilled you are, the more things come to you because you have all this extra capacity.
Yeah,
you're at ease, you're in the moment, you all have all your powers available to you.
Yeah, it's like the equivalent of doing a pub quiz, but having to answer the questions in the urinal an inch from someone's nose. When you turn
by
right.
The way, that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's the next series.
That's the final. That's the new final for Smart TV. Oh, I love the final bit of the urinals bit. Yeah, excellent. Rob, it's so cool, man. How many do you record at a time?
So we're doing one a day.
All right.
But then because our schedules are a bit tight because it was sort of, we did do two in a day, which I do think was too many. Right. By the end of it, I was just like, I didn't know where I was.
And you don't know whether you're being funny or not being funny, or you just want to get it over with. Because it's like when a football match goes to extra time and somebody won in the 105th minute last night of normal time. Who was that? Somebody, one of the matches was decided in the 105th minute, but not because it was the 15th minute of extra time, because it was the 105th minute of normal time.
Really?
Yeah.
I know Newcastle beat Blackburn, didn't they, on penalties?
On penalties. That would have been Leicester at Bournemouth.
That's what it was.
Right, yeah.
I didn't know until last night, until the Newcastle match, that there are no replays from the fourth round of the FA Cup. Did you know that?
I did not.
So that's why all the games go to penalties now.
Right, I didn't know that, because it's too busy. Yeah. The fixture, I don't want to start,
veering to talk sport here,
but it's too busy. The fixture
says
list.
The Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, how's it going this year?
Yeah, I don't think we'll win the league, but we're doing well. But I about a month ago, I was like, we need a striker. We keep losing because we haven't got a striker. And they've scored 25 goals in 5 games. Yeah. So I feel like I should stop having opinions.
And Erling Haaland scored 25 goals in one game last night. Or nearly.
Just
anyway.
After we said he'd forgotten how to score. Yeah.
Rob Beckett's Smart TV begins tomorrow, 9 p.m. Sky Max. And now, did you feel more comfortable as the recording of a brand new show went on from episode to episode? What did you learn about your own new show?
So we did a pilot of it and loads of run-throughs in the office, which really helps. They're fun.
Can I nerd out on this?
Go on.
So what did you drop from the pilot? What did you say do more of as a result of the pilot?
So the buttons round, the buzzers round came from the run-throughs because they didn't have buzzers. So I just started improvising. Funny lines from shows that are in your head, but you don't realise they're in your head until someone else says them.
Yes.
So, in EastEnders with Kat Slater, and she goes, "You ate my mother? Yes, I am." That burnt into my head from years ago. So that came from it. And then also the TV showdown round where they go head to head. We made them literally go head to head. That was an idea that came from the run-throughs because they kept on winning. So it was like, we need to make this more stressful.
And
so.
What happened? What did you lose? What didn't work? What didn't fly?
Oh, there was one thing about there's a props round where you guess the props, right? Yes. And then we were trying to work out a way to have the props. There's 5 props from a TV show. You have to guess what show it's from the props, okay?
Right.
So I was working it out. Sometimes it's too easy, sometimes it's too hard. But they're trying to work out a funny way to get the props into the studio. So at one point in the run-throughs, there was a guy in a green morph suit that was going to be like, oh, we'll edit him out. So it looked like it was floating in.
Nice.
And it... Basically, the guy has quite thin trousers on. The morph suit was tight. It was very distracting from the downstairs region. And the poor fella, and he did it a few times. And like, normally you have ideas on a show. Maybe this, maybe that. Everyone went, we can't do that. Yeah. That is insane.
Was so he
that
got dropped.
No, in a way, I think he was relieved. I don't think he really wanted that gig. I think it was one of those sort of late night, oh, why don't we just do this kind of things? But that didn't make it.
Your hair, I've only seen episode one, but your hair looked amazing.
Did it?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Did you put some highlights in? It was a bit thicker than it has been recently.
So I was wearing it forward like a French crop and everyone gave me loads of grief. So I went back to the side part.
Right.
I'd come back from holiday when I filmed that.
Well, it was noticeable.
My hair, people accuse me of dyeing my hair because in the summer it's light and in the winter it's dark.
Right.
Well, if I was dyeing it, I'd do it all year, wouldn't I? That's obviously the sun bleaching it. So the sun bleaches it.
I wouldn't worry about what they're saying.
But it does. I look good because I've just come off on
it. You know that? Man.
I nailed it. I got back on the Saturday and then we started filming the Sunday. And you know, after holiday, you feel yourself for about 4 days. Mm-hmm. Luckily for me, I filmed the whole series in those days. Nice. So I was just like, this is unbelievable. I've lucked out here.
It sounds like you might be getting the hang of this. And
what's that?
The whole thing. And then this philosophy extends to your brand new live tour, Giraffe, because you're saying for the first time ever, you love going on tour anyway. It's your favourite thing.
Yes.
It would fill a lot of people with absolute joy. It would make them feel. Some people do throw up just before they go on stage. They're so nervous. Once they're on stage, they're fine. But you love being on stage. However, you said you think you might have nailed the organisation of this tour, not better than ever before, just for the first time ever.
Yes.
Because you built it around your life, and you go, oh, you can do this without running out of everything in the process.
Yes. So basically, when you start in comedy, you sort of on the open mic circuit, and then you get off of this, you get off of that. It's sort of like a runaway train.
Yes.
And you're just clinging on, trying to get as much experience, get the right gigs, get a bit of money in, pay you, and it is manning your
anything.
Then you have kids, you know, oh my God, so now you're holding on to your wife and your kids on the train. And
yeah.
So it's madness. And then it's sort of like, and I wrote about it in my book, we spoke about it before, but when lockdown came, my biggest fear was, you know, all my work going, and it did go, but then actually it all worked out in the end. Mm. And with this tour, it's the first tour that I've written without sort of fear and worry that I'm going to be found out from imposter syndrome, or that, you know, with the poverty mindset, they're still going to get turned off. Everyone's going, right, no, come back to the market. You used to work at the flower market, back to the market. You've had your little, you know, time away and all that. But now I'm sort of in a place where my self-worth isn't wrapped up in me as a comedian.
Yeah.
Me as a comedian is a different thing I go and do, the same way as me as a five-a-side footballer on a Sunday when I play is a different thing I do. It's just a part of me, but not all of me. Before, everything was wrapped up in my performance. So if it went well, I was king of the world. If it went bad, I was a complete loser.
Yeah.
That's gone now. Now, I work hard, I write jokes, I go out and I tell them, and I look forward to it and I love it. And the way it will go is the way it will go. And at the moment, it's going well. So I'm just going to keep doing that and not overthinking it. But it's all planned out. I've got the school holidays off with the kids, booked holidays with the families. And I said to the promoters, you can have the rest of the dates. And that is why we're stretched to 2026.
It's
a big, big old tour. It's called Giraffe, robbeckettcomedy.com. Get yourself some tickets. I'm going all over the gaff in all the best theatres in the country. I love doing theatres. They're so magical. And I just feel so lucky I can go up to the middle of nowhere, or I can go to big cities up north where I've never went to as a kid and sell it out. So it's amazing.
Here, I've got all the dates in front of me. It's very impressive. It's pretty cool. It's like Taylor Swift. November, December, January, and next year, all over the country, as you say. And you've stolen Vassis' fun fact, which was you're the first person to come on promoting something in 2026.
Yeah, no, but no one has come in this studio yet until you now.
Really?
Who's got dates already in 2026.
London Palladium, 2026.
Yeah. Wow, how cool is that, man?
Yeah, I know, it's unbelievable. I can't believe
That's also a vote for yourself, that because, you know, you're looking towards... You know that whatever happens this Christmas, next Christmas, you know, summer holidays, what goes on with the family, adventures, hopefully not disasters, but you never know.
Yeah.
And then you start in September. We know that the real year is September to September. It's not really January to December, especially if you're a parent.
Yeah.
And you've got two of those and two of all those going on. And then, you're heading towards the Palladium. That gives you a little bit of security, doesn't it? A little bit of a vector, a little bit of an idea because of where you're going, a direction. Doesn't matter in the end whether you get there or not, but it's great. There's that lovely phrase, if you don't know where you're heading, any road will take you there, and that's not a place you want to be.
No, it's I like having a sort of lot of short-term goals, long-term goals, and knowing I've got that, but Stand-up is my like one true love when it comes to anything in entertainment. Yeah. I love doing podcasts and telly and all that, but stand-up's the thing I fell in love with. That's the thing I love doing most. And all I've ever wanted to do was do it in theatres. So why rush it and try and get it all in and out of the way? Oh, that's done. What? No, this is what I want to do. I'd happily... You know, if comedy was a theatre at the end of my road at 11 a.m, I'd gig every day.
Yeah,
it's only the travel, but because I've spread it out, I'll be going to all these venues refreshed and ready and excited.
Yeah,
not like, oh God, I've got another one. So.
And all the better for it. And you have been tied on tour before, as I've been tied on the telly and tied on the radio.
Of course.
And that's not a great position to put yourself in. But if you can sort of carry it off then,
yeah,
when you really do look after yourself and you give yourself the right kind of self-care that you deserve, all the better for it. The audience, in they love you, they're going to absolutely adore you this time around.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. And I love being able to, when you are refreshed and you're excited about
it's brilliant.
You're more in the moment during the show, so I can chat to them and I talk to the audience. That's why I'm doing theatres rather than arenas. You can connect with them, you can talk to them, and then the show becomes about them. And then there'll be jokes that happen that will never happen ever again.
Yeah.
And that's the magic of comedy, where if you get too busy and you just write a script and churn it out every night, you're basically doing a one-man play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I think comedy is. It's
I
about connecting
with
people in a room and take your jokes, but just being as funny as possible, whatever way that
and
is.
And if it's any good, that's fine. But if you're tired, you'll do well to remember what you've written and try not to phone it in and try not to have one over on the audience. Shortchange the audience.
No, exactly. And also, I think when you get, I'm in a very privileged position now.
Yes.
Where I've got lots of security from my work and my podcast, and I'm very lucky to have that happy family life and things like that. And so I want to go in there and connect with them and enjoy it and not just sort of rush through
it,
you know.
I mean, you know, in a way it's called Giraffe, the tour, but it could be called Smell the Roses, but that's not very funny. But you could call it Smell the Audience, because you're taking time to smell the audience.
Well, exactly.
That's what it is.
Well, yeah, it's called Giraffe because my kids love giraffes.
Yeah.
And also, if you're trying to sell something, you need something that's like, you need to create something that people like, a logo or a brand, but like, what's more famous than giraffes? Everyone knows what a giraffe is.
Will there be
a
giraffe
funny image
on set?
No, so basically, I thought it'd be funny to have a long neck in the poster.
Mm.
And then I added hooves for a laugh, but I thought I'd take them off because it's mental to have hooves on the poster. But when I was in Pizza Express with the kids and they saw the final poster and said, where are the hooves gone? And I was like, oh, we're not having hooves. And they started getting like, oh, what? We wanted hooves. And they started kicking off. And I'd had like two glasses of red wine. I was like, oh, do you know what? Just stick hooves on it. So I am looking at a picture of me with hooves now for the next 3 years.
Well, I think that's fair enough, because you've got to keep the kids happy.
Well, exactly. And who cares? It's only a poster, isn't it? It's just got to have my face and name on it.
This whole thing about you loving being on stage.
Yeah.
You know, some people can't think of anything worse. They dry up when they've got to speak in public, if it's a best man speech or if they've got to say something at work in a meeting. And some people who are... And a lot of people who don't know about this don't believe it. A lot of people who are paid to be on stage can't stand it.
Yeah.
They can't stand being on stage, but it's what they know they have to do as part of their job. And they still go through it, and it's some kind of really weird sort of masochistic kind of thing they put themselves through, and they don't need to, and they shouldn't really. But you're the opposite. That Gary Barlow's like you are. Gary Barlow just loves being on stage. If he's behind a piano in front of 100,000 people in Hyde Park, which I've seen him do, he couldn't be more comfortable if he was sitting at home in his favourite armchair watching his favourite Netflix box set.
I don't get that sort of... I get excitement about going out.
I just think
there's like 2,000 people here that have paid money and they want to laugh. They've already signed up. Do you know what I mean? They're half in.
They've got laughter in their tanks.
Yeah, and they're going, right, I've been looking forward
to this.
We're
full. We're full of laughter.
Exactly. So I go out and get it out.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, I'm more comfortable doing, you know, I love being at home with the kids and stuff like that. And that's, you know, on the sofa watching Gladiators is my happy place, right?
How good is the new Gladiators?
It's so good. So being on the sofa, we make little, you know, the another one bites the dust hands.
Course,
we make little craft hands and stuff.
Yeah.
So that is my happy place. Indoors with the kids, takeaway and the football on, and Lou and the kids. That is my happy place. Second to that,
I want to be there.
Is
by the way.
Oh, it's great. And on stage is second. I'd rather be on stage doing an arena. I feel more comfortable or more relaxed doing a theatre or arena than going to a wedding of someone I don't know that well.
Yeah, no, I'm,
that I found more stressful and more overwhelming.
I love being with my fam. I love being at home. I love looking after myself and exercising. And I love love being on the radio. Yeah. I love being on the radio so much that I don't really want to do other things nowadays because it will take away from any energy that I can bring here, and I want to bring all my energy here. Like, yeah. You want to put all your energy on the stage.
Exactly, yeah. So that's why I've sort of trimmed down all the other stuff. And then,
it's great, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm just very, very lucky and privileged to be in this position.
You're in a good place, my
looking
friend.
Forward to it.
We are done for time. Anything else you want to say while you're here?
No, not really. No, that's me done. Watch Smart TV tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, Sky Max, and buy a ticket to Giraffe. Or more, buy more than one. Or five.
If you're in
dare
Reading,
you buy a whole theatre yeah. for? Go on, robbeckett.comedy.com.
If yeah. you're in Reading, yes. right, and you're at a loose end,
yeah.
in early June,
yeah.
2025,
yeah, yeah,
let's,
yeah,
say,
yeah.
let's say Saturday the 7th yeah. of June, 2025, and you think, oh, Rob's quite, I'll buy tickets to Rob.
Yeah.
To fill that little hole in my diary in 18 months' time.
Yeah. Because?
You can't because you've already sold out.
Oh, yes. One of the sold out ones. Also, I'd say it is in 2026, but the price of the tickets, I think, decent price, about 35, which is very competitive. But what I'd say, with the way inflation's going, you could be on for a bargain.
Well, you could be on quicked
up by 2026.
If you flip them. Yeah, so if you think about flipping, if you think about buying a Rob Beckett ticket as an investment,
yeah,
then you're looking
like
at
an NFT.
Thursday,
but
the
5th what I'd say is I'm announcing some more dates as well, so don't buy them off Touts or that terrible place that overcharges. And there's more
Touts.
Touts, yeah.
Touts.
Sorry, Chris.
Brighton. No, I like it. Thursday, the 5th of February, Brighton, the Dome. By the way, lots of Brighton fans very worried about tonight's game because Brighton are playing Wolves in the FA Cup away and they've got lots of injuries.
Yeah, buy a couple of tickets just in case you lose.
Brighton and Wolves, two teams doing unbelievably well in the Premier League. So they're
Brighton,
definitely.
Brighton are 7th.
Yeah,
in the Premier
I know, it's bad.
And Wolves are 8th. I mean, it's really...
Isn't it fun yeah. seeing Man United being rubbish?
Yeah.
Isn't it fun? Yeah. Do you know what? It is fun, isn't it?
You're such a typical Arsenal fan because yeah. you're 2 points behind Liverpool and you're like, yeah, we ain't going to win the league.
Well, it's just Man City, like, they're just...
Are you more fearful of Man City than Liverpool?
Yeah, because of their injuries. I think if Liverpool had a full squad, but with the Klopp leaving effect, that could push them over. But I do think... yeah, I don't know.
Did
I can't
you,
see
did
Arsenal
you watch
doing it.
Sunday's game.
Oh, it was amazing.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
I just don't know. I just
such a great game.
They just sort of crumbled in the extra time.
They disappeared.
Chelsea. Yeah,
they literally disappeared.
Not good.
And do you know that even though Klopp brought on those three teenagers with yeah. 86 minutes gone, 4 minutes to go in normal time, do you know that even when he brought those teenagers on, the average age of the Chelsea team was younger than the average age of the Liverpool team?
Was it?
It's just that they had more mid-20s stars on their team. So they had more senior players on their team, but they were younger senior players
yeah.
than Liverpool. And I think that Liverpool's average age was 24, even with the three teenagers on. And I think that Chelsea's was 23.
You can't beat that self-belief and team, which Chelsea
well,
haven't got.
If you play with joy, if you go on stage with joy, yes. if you come on the radio with joy, it's a superpower because it's super fuel.
Yes.
And if you're playing against someone like that or you're going on with that in your tanks, then you're going to be fine.
Well, Van Dijk looked unbeatable. Yeah. He looked like he was like an Avenger in the middle of
and
the pitch
really
compared to
calm.
Everyone else. Yeah.
He was really emphatic, forceful, energetic, inspirational, but overtly calm. More calm than he usually is.
Yes.
He's a very calm dude.
Yeah.
He's from the Lowlands.
Yeah, he'll be very calm when he signs for Real Madrid when Klopp leaves, fingers crossed. That's the plan.
Did you see the headline on the back of the Sun on Monday? Because of the kids coming on. Kindergarten Klopp.
Oh, love
Come
it.
Come on.
Well, I loved the £1 billion bottle jobs from Neville was good as
that
well.
Was
that
great.
Was great. What lines. Look
yeah,
at that.
It was all good.
Poetry and football.
All good. More football on TalkSport and TalkSport 2 tonight. FA Cup action, Vassos.
Yeah, FA Cup tonight. It's Chelsea Leeds, a repeat of that 1970
oh,
final.
Oh, God.
Where 28 million people watched basically two teams who should have got sent off, all of them. Forest Man United, Wolves Brighton and Liverpool Southampton.
All right, TalkSport and TalkSport 2 tonight. And uninterrupted coverage of two of those games. You've got to go to TalkSport now.
Yeah, I'm going into TalkSport now. Is all that right? I feel yeah. like I'm done, but
no, cheating on you. That's fine, don't worry about right. that. Because the guy who's been on TalkSport as their guest between 8:30 and 9, Charlie P. Brooks, is coming here.
I want to go on there and talk about music.
So it's 2-for-1. When you go, you can yeah. talk about music yeah, on TalkSport yeah. this morning because they've just released their brand new Cheltenham Trail, because TalkSport's never more TalkSport than on two occasions. One, yeah. when they go to the Ryder Cup, because they always go to the Ryder
yeah,
Cup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also they always go to Cheltenham.
Yes.
And they have done another country song, a 2-minute song, as their trailer for Cheltenham. It's some
oh,
people,
I want to hear
some
that.
Some people don't like it. Some other people think it's
Do
hilarious.
You know, I think sort of like that the Woolpackers song. Remember that from Emmerdale?
Yeah.
Hillbilly Rock, Hillbilly Roll. That's a classic.
Right, you got to go, otherwise
right,
we're going to get in trouble.
Right, bye.
All right, thank you so much. Well done, Rob.
Bye, everyone.
Great to see you, man.
Cheers.
Have a great everything.
Have a great show.
All right, pal. Cheers.
Bye, Rob. Bye, cheers.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
This is going to be something I'll remember, and that's a really lovely thing. I don't think I was able to do that in the past.
And James Bay. Come on,
let it go. Don't you agree that everybody needs someone when they feel alone?
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ah, next guest is the racing columnist who also knows his way to the winner's enclosure of kids' books. His latest book, Sammy and the Extra Hot Chili Powder, is out now. So please welcome, he's got the looks, he's got the books, he's Charlie P. Brooks!
Nice one! Morning, Charlie!
Good morning, it's amazing to be here. And actually, slightly surreal, because pretty well most mornings I get my energy and a spring in my step from listening to you three.
Yes.
So to be sitting in here with you is kind of bonkers. I might just instantaneously combust.
Thank you. He's a confirmed convert, is what he's... You also gave us a plug in the paper, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
In the Telegraph, nonetheless.
Yes, I know. Shocking.
Excellent. Thank you so much. All right, well, it's time to return the favour. Sammy and the Extra Hot Chili Powder by Charlie P. Brooks, illustrated by Steve May. It's a great book. Sammy is the rescue dog, the sort of semi-posh rescue dog. Harry is the first owner of Sammy, and then we get onto Beanie, then we get to Beanie's mum. Who is Harry? How did Sammy come about, and what do they get up to, Charlie?
So, I was thinking of an idea for a book, and we have a friend who can talk to animals via telepathy. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be a great children's book, to write a book through the voice of a dog. And we've got the most fabulous dog at home that sleeps on our bed and does all the things a dog's not meant to do. And I thought, well, combine the two and turn her into a border sniffer patrol dog, and you could have a bit of fun.
So mum hails from Primrose Hill. Sammy's mum hails from Primrose Hill.
Yeah, doggy mum.
And Sammy's doggy mum, with the way Sammy came about and her two sisters, was that Sammy's mum went for a little walk, absent without leave, around the sort of Regent's Park area, met a dog, not so highfalutin, a man dog.
Yeah, pretty rough setter poo. Pretty rough Irish setter.
Yeah, and then something happened. Well, you know, what happened.
They had puppies.
Yeah, she woke up with these puppies. And they had to get rid of the evidence as soon as possible. So what happened to the litter?
So Harry, who's a sort of ex-soldier, probably Afghanistan, has always worked with dogs, decided he wanted to go for a slightly unusual dog to train up as a sniffer dog. So basically takes over Sammy and trains her, and you go through all the training, which is fun, and you get into how dogs are basically like the opposite to humans. So when humans think something's a really disgusting smell, dogs think it's fabulous.
Yeah, so do kids. I mean, that's why kids are going to love the book.
Exactly. And dogs do certain things. So when dogs say hello, they sniff your bottom.
Yeah.
They don't shake hands and peck you on the cheek and say, oh, nice to see you, when they really don't mean it. They just have a good old sniff and they know who you are.
And five-year-old twins, human twins, also smell you at the bottom because they think it's funny to act like a dog. That's what happens when you come to our house. And so Sammy didn't know that she was being trained for airport security. She thought she was just had one of the greatest owners imaginable.
Exactly. She thought she was just playing. And as a result of writing this book, I did quite a lot of research on sniffer dogs. And that is basically how they train sniffer dogs. It's a game. And every time they get it right, they get a biscuit. So they get it right again. And then they learn to smell out either cash or explosives or whatever they're trained to smell. They're also incredible medical dogs that can smell cancer.
Yeah.
So an incredibly quick and cheap way to detect cancer is just train a dog and they'll tell you straight away.
So we had a lady on the show who can also smell cancer, and she's working, and she smelt the cancer in her husband, and she diagnosed it, and she now works with Royal College of in the Medical Royal College, and she's been proven to be able to smell Parkinson's now and other diseases, and other humans have an amazing sense of smell. But I wonder how close our human with the best sense of smell is to the dog with the worst sense of smell, and I bet they're still miles apart.
Miles apart. The dog will be way better.
Yeah.
And of course, if you spent tens of millions of pounds inventing a machine that could smell as well as a dog, everyone would go, yes, we must have those machines. But because it's a dog, people automatically think, well, that's not medicine, that's not science.
Yeah.
But of course it is. It's really advanced biology.
Well, I remember at LAX Airport a couple of summers ago, and they'd replaced all the machines, all the AI with sniffer dogs, and you didn't have to take any of your laptops or your screens out of your bags because the sniffer dogs had it sorted. And I said, this is amazing, so much quicker, and apparently like a million times more reliable.
Absolutely. We should be training out more sniffer dogs. And then the next time we have a pandemic, you know, we can just all walk past dogs instead of spending a fortune on tests.
Yeah, yeah.
Just get the dog to do it.
Billions and billions and billions of pounds. So we fall in love with Sammy. Sammy falls in love with Harry and then reluctantly gets taken to Heathrow Airport because she didn't know she was being secretly trained to be a security dog. And then there are all these different smells for different things. And in the first few weeks, because she's a mongrel and she says, no, I'm a sort of super duper highfalutin hybrid. And the other dogs go, no, you're a mongrel and we want nothing to do with you.
Yeah, you're not joining our gang.
Yeah. But she just happens to have an amazing nose.
And they, you know, in children's books, they should be some good messages for children.
Yeah.
And I hope the message that comes out of that is don't exclude other children from your group.
Yeah.
It's mean. It's
don't
not
judge
nice.
A book by its cover.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so Sammy has to sort of push through being slightly excluded from a group. So I hope when children read this, they'll think, oh, yeah, that wasn't a very nice thing to do.
And they are trained, these sniff dogs are trained to smell different things because things have smells. Money has a certain smell. There are dogs who are taught to smell money. And one dog can be taught to smell many different things. And this is all true.
Absolutely. If you go on YouTube, you see all sorts of videos of dogs that can sniff certain things.
Right. So money.
Money,
drugs.
Explosives, drugs. Probably food. You can't just bring animals and food in,
yeah.
You know, because that's dangerous because you bring in disease.
Frogs.
Frogs, exactly.
Frogs
you've
make
read,
it.
You've read the
frogs
book,
make it into somebody's undercrackers, let me tell you. Yeah. Gold.
Gold, absolutely. Gold smells of cheddar, according to Sammy.
Now, you do actually break down what certain things smell of, and I thought, oh, this is clever. How do we know that diamonds smell of cheese or whatever without being able to talk to a dog? And I thought, how good is Charlie's friend who can communicate with animals via telepathy? But you just made all that stuff up.
I did, yes.
I'm so sad because I'd read it all and I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, explosives smell very bitter and watches smell of gold, but then cash smells of mint. I was going, oh, we must have done loads of research. This is so interesting. We just told me
of course,
it's
they must smell of something, but we just don't know what they
exactly.
are.
Exactly. So you can't really say it's wrong, can you? Because
no.
We don't know.
But the way we teach dogs is so money, we know money smells of something that dogs recognize. Because if we give dogs money to smell, the kind of same kind of money we're trying to get them to detect, they will detect it, but they just can't tell us what it smells of.
Exactly. And what they're actually smelling with money is
great.
The ink.
Ah,
it's
okay.
The ink on the banknotes that they smell.
Okay. So Sammy does amazingly well, much to the chagrin of these other dogs that aren't hybrids and have been in the security forces for years. And you sort of think that someone would talk a bit like that because you personify them so well. And then something happens with some chili powder and she has to be semi-retired.
Yes, exactly.
So how far do you want to go with what we talk about in the story?
I think this is okay. No spoiler alert here.
Oh, okay.
She has to retire to Bloomington, which is a thinly
disguised
village somewhere.
Where you live.
Quite close where I live. Stick with what you know.
Yeah.
Where she meets Robin, who's her new dog best friend,
right.
And Beanie, who's her new human best friend.
Mm.
And then they get up to stuff. But then she has to be drafted back in for a big diamond heist. And I think that's where we sort of pause the
All
story.
Right. Via a surprise helicopter visit around the village. Because she's so in demand, it's so urgent. They have to send
exactly.
out a government helicopter for her.
They suddenly realise,
so good.
Call for Sammy, call for Sammy.
This is Paw Patrol 3.0.
Yeah, next level.
Oh, my goodness. Now, Beanie and her mum, and that, are they... Are they? Do they have a relationship with security forces, and they will foster dogs if something happens to them?
No, Mrs. Brown, being his mum, was a friend of Harry's.
Right.
And Harry's been told, you can't keep Sammy. You've got a job to do. You're too busy.
Yeah.
She'll have to go to
Sammy's
some home.
Smell is out of order, temporarily out of order.
Sammy's smell is completely down.
Right.
So Harry goes, no way am I just letting anyone have Sammy. So he says to Mrs. Brown, you will just look after Sammy for a couple of days, won't you? Which, of course, turns into ever. And then Harry ends up coming to stay as well.
Yeah. It's all cool. And then you get the different characters in the village, and there's the odd sort of... Not exactly crimes, but Sammy can't help herself, and that's how she realises she's getting her smell back.
Exactly. And the sort of the characters in the village are the sort of characters you get in every village in England. You know, there's a
particularly
slight...
Yours.
Particularly ours. One of my favourite characters is Farmer Gerald, right, who I may have borrowed from Clarkson's Farm.
Yeah. Brilliant. Names may have been changed. All these characters are fictitious, or are they?
Completely. Completely.
Oh, marvellous. You love your dogs, Fassos. Mm-hmm. You just recently lost one of your doggies, didn't you?
Lost our Holly. We still have our Bella, who joins us at Running Club. And our Mary. Do you want Mary's review now? Because our Mary, who's 9 years old, she reviews the books on this show. She does not pull her punches, our Mary. She won't do it now. If I don't pay her the £2, which I think is a little unfair because she does get loads of free books to read, but, you know, I started and so on, I have to continue. And here's the thing, Charlie.
I'm nervous.
She tells it like it is.
You should be nervous. You know how Clarkson can kill off a car?
Absolutely.
In a paragraph. Mary's the same. This,
my career could be about to end now. Mary could be finishing my career.
We'll give you the choice. We don't have to play it.
Play it. Go on.
Okay, he's going for it. And here's Mary with her review of Sammy and the Extra Hot Chili Powder.
Sammy and the Extra Hot Chili Powder is really funny, and really sweet, and really exciting. I love Sammy. He makes me smile. Also, I've always wanted to read a book told by a dog, and I thought I was going to have to write one. So I'm pleased, because I am very busy.
Happy with that?
Oh, that's lovely.
I love the fact it's first-person dog.
Well, it's fun, isn't it? It's fun sort of thinking, how would a dog write? How would a dog think? And, of course, dogs are smarter than humans in so many ways.
Not us.
Well,
Labrador.
But Vassos, that's their ultimate trick, though, isn't it?
Yeah, Vassos, if you need a new dog, I know this week there are 6 dogs coming back from Somalia that have been sniffing mines out there.
Is that a fact?
And they're going to be retired. And, of course, they need homes.
What kind of dogs are they?
I think they're Malinois.
Oh, we would love another dog.
Oh, I mean, these dogs are incredible, Chris. And, of course, they need homes because, you know, their career comes to an end. Normally, their handlers will give them a home, but that's not always possible.
Same with police dogs, isn't
and,
it?
And so, yeah, exactly. And they, you know, a lot of them will make fantastic
dogs
pets.
Dogs are great, aren't they?
And they're so
dogs
smart.
Dogs are great. Cats, anyone? Nope, still not cats. All right. Excellent.
They're not smart.
Cats?
No, dogs.
Dogs have got one over on you because your dog is obviously playing dumb for your benefit to make you feel a bit
clever.
Okay,
here's just a very, very quick story, yes, right? She sees a squirrel in the garden, right? We have these 3 big wooden glass doors between
says,
us and the
squirrel!
Garden. So she pelts towards the squirrel, right? Yeah. But she forgets that there's glass, right? And so it hits her head, like a cartoon, right? 3 minutes later, another squirrel in the garden, exactly
that's
the same
not a dog
thing into the
that's
glass.
A goldfish you've got there. That's a goldfish in a massive bowl without water.
Yes.
The bowl's your house. The goldfish looks a bit like a Labrador.
Yep.
And you've been had over by the pet shop owner.
You've
been sold a pup. You've been sold a goldfish.
I think I might say, in a house, cats will always sit where there's negative energy and dogs will always sit where there's positive energy.
Oh, nice.
And isn't it true that if you...
I may be wrong. I don't think I made it up.
Isn't it true that unfortunately, if you unfortunately pass and you're not noticed, your cat will start to eat you,
whereas your
dog will try and go and raise the alarm?
No, your dog will... If you're in an apartment and you pass away sadly and it's just you and the dog will just sit down next to you and very... sadly, pass away as well from starvation.
Whereas the
cat in the same situation will eat you.
Yeah. You know, there are diabetes dogs that live with people with type 1 diabetes, and they will wake them up in the middle of the night and say, your blood levels are dropping, you need to do something.
Wow.
Can we just hear it for dogs, please? You know. Control round of applause for all dogs. And, if you don't mind, our first ever control room tumbleweed for cats.
I love cats.
Said one person.
if cats
Charlie, this is great, man. When did you come up with the idea? How did you come up with the idea for Sammy and the extra hot chili powder?
Inspired by our dog, our lovely Setapoo. Yeah.
And your mate.
And our friend who can do telepathy with animals.
Okay, and when did the idea of a national security dog come, or homeland security dog come into your...
I can't remember, purview? Chris. I think, you know, these things sometimes just develop as you go along. You start with the nugget of an idea. Yeah. And then you get up at 4 in the morning and drink 4 cups of coffee.
And off you go.
And you go, where should we
Isn't
go?
Great.
And just go mad and just go more and more mad. And then hopefully your editor takes, you know, most of it out.
Yeah, no.
And you get left with something that's sort of viable.
Yeah. Somebody's got to get the laundry dirty, somebody's got to do the ironing. It's as simple as that, and it all works out in the end. Your last trilogy did unbelievably well. Is this the first of three again? Are we going
It is the first of three. Yeah, I've actually already written the second one.
That's what happened the first time around.
He's exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly, I know.
Are you loving it?
I do love it. I mean, I really do love it. I think my mental age is getting younger. I think if I was a time machine, my time machine broke when I was 7 years old. Because that's sort of where my mental age is. And I think Sammy is for slightly younger readers than the Holly series was. So I've sort of gone the wrong way, if you know what I mean.
I thought it was great, regardless of age. And I don't think you're going back in time. I think you've just dropped the notion that we all get to that point in our lives that there is such a thing as a grown-up. And you go, there aren't any grown-ups. Exactly. There just aren't. It's just a phase you go through when you think you're grown up.
And I mean, isn't a good book a good book? Does it really matter whether it's written for 7-year-olds or for 70-year-olds? I mean...
Hopes and dreams for the book? Hopes and dreams for Sammy going forward?
I would love it to be like a TV show or a series or something like that.
All right.
I'd love to see it. So come alive 3D.
And as a racing man, as a horse racing man, have you heard the brand new TalkSport trial for Cheltenham?
I have. I've just been sitting in Alan Brazil's studio with him, and he looked a little bit shocked when it was first played to him.
Right.
It's good though, isn't it?
Yeah, are you going to Cheltenham?
I'm going to go 2 days, probably.
Right.
Got netball match on Wednesday. I can't miss that.
I didn't know you played netball.
No, I don't. I'm going to watch my daughter. I've turned into King Richard, apparently.
We were talking about netball last night, about the fact that... So we were talking about... have you heard of Danish long ball?
No.
No, it's a new big thing at Noah's school. They're playing Danish long ball. He tried to explain it last night. It's all to do with you can't move when you get the ball. And Tessa said, oh, that's a bit like netball. And I said, yeah, and then Tessa reminded me, you can't move when you play netball, but you can go from the landing foot to the takeoff foot.
That's right.
And that's why often in netball, they look like ballerinas handing the ball to someone else, because you can lean, can't you, on one foot?
Yeah, you cannot lift your landing foot.
You cannot lift your landing
foot. Pivot.
Is that right?
But you can't lift your landing foot.
So you'd land.
Yeah, and then you've got like 3 taps.
I didn't know that. It's great, isn't it? So Cheltenham this year doesn't fall on St. Patrick's Day. That's on the Sunday, and Cheltenham finished on the Friday the 15th. Obviously, that's happened before. I can't remember when. Do they always go before Paddy's Day, or sometimes they go after Paddy's Day?
I think they just go roughly the second week in March.
And it doesn't matter.
And it's whatever it is.
And you're already wearing green in preparation.
Yes.
Charlie, thanks for coming on the show.
Chris, thank you for having me.
It's a great book.
It's great to be here with
it's
you.
It's out today. And thanks for listening to the show. And thanks for giving us a plug in the Telegraph. Sammy and the Extra Hot Chili Powder, Charlie P. Brooks. It's out now. It's a brand new trilogy. And it begins with this one, illustrated by Steve May. Fill your boots. It's a cracking read. Hey there, this is the Chris Evans Show with Cinch, who don't just offer great quality cars, but also great quality service with a dedicated customer service team available 7 days a week. Plus, there's a Cinch app. As if cinch.co.uk isn't enough, you can browse thousands of cars with the app, filter your searches, and buy your next car in just a few taps. The app is on Google Play and App Store. You can search, shop, and pay for your next car all in the Cinch app. It's so easy, it couldn't be easier. And of course, you get all the same benefits like free home delivery and a 14-day money-back guarantee. No questions asked other than where would you like the money sending back. Try it out. Download the Cinch app today.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.